Hello and welcome to Rewatchable episode 24. Today we'll be discussing Veronica Mars episodes 15, Brusky Business, and 16, Betty and Veronica. With me I have Karen, Caitlin, and Ariana. Say hi everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Good. I'm excited to be talking to all of you. I don't think we've had an episode together before.
No, we haven't. This is exciting.
It'll be good.
Dun dun dun.
Oh gosh, I hope not. All right, well, let's get started then. I'm gonna jump into the synopsis for episode 15. Again, that one was called Rescue Business. So here we go. Love is the theme of the week in this episode as Veronica tries to help a Russian mail order bride find her lost soulmate, Tom Cruise. No, we're not kidding. Things take a turn for the dangerous, however, when Keith discovers that the Russian woman is part of a mob plot to fish out Tom Cruise from the witness protection program. Meanwhile, Veronica tries to help her gal pal Meg discover the identity of her secret admirer in time for the 80s dance, and Logan learns that his sister has been using their mother's credit cards, eliminating the last hope he had that his mother might still be alive. So that's a little depressing. So let's not jump right into the depressing part. Let's start off easy. So let's start off with the Russian mobster plot. Thoughts about it? Was it convincing or?
Yawn.
Yeah.
At first, I was super invested because she was so cute. She was like, he's my soulmate. And I was just like, Veronica, I totally bought into it. But then afterward, I was angry because she made me like believe in this. And it wasn't real.
I thought something seemed off about it the whole time. I was like, I can't put my finger on it, but there's more to this than's going on. And guess what? There was.
But like, also, how does a mail order bride who's not married have enough money to hire a PI, like, and do everything and like hire them for their ultimate package? Like,
that's just like awesome. Cut a check, like, no problem.
Yeah. Not a problem at all.
That's true. And how could she stay in the U.S.? Because she probably wouldn't have like a visa if she wasn't married to him. You guys are so much more perceptive than I am.
Logic. Yeah, I, like, at first, I was kind of invested because I was sort of like Veronica, where she was saying, you know, for once I want to help people get together instead of breaking them apart. And I was like, oh, yeah, I really hope that this has a happy ending. Mm-hmm. But then as it kept going on, not quite when, like, you finally realized the connection, but as things were going on, I was like, you know what? What if she's faking it? I didn't necessarily guess like a Russian mob type of thing and witness protection program. But before that came about, I was like, you know what? I bet there's something fishy going on here. And it was kind of disappointing because I did want it to have a happy ending.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I kind of liked about this plot point was the fact that I'm kind of impressed that Veronica found someone in the witness protection program.
True.
Yeah. Like it's a little impressive, but that's, I mean, this isn't one of my favorite episodes per se, mostly because I think of the whole Russian plot, but I think that part was kind of cool.
Well, that or the guy's marshal wasn't very good at hiding him.
Yeah, well, he sent too. A postcard from Neptune. Like, how dumb was that? Like, if you're in the witness protection program, you probably should not be sending it from where you live, a tiny little town.
Yeah, probably not the best idea. But it was kind of cool in the end when Mr. Mars was the one to kind of bust him. He was kind of sitting in that. Oh, it was that that weird jock guy's like model house, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brad.
Brad.
From Home Improvement.
That's who he was. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Guys are just blowing my mind today. We're having a whole discussion about who Meg was, and she's from Supernatural, but I knew him, and I couldn't figure out how.
Yeah.
Yes. He was the brother that you don't care about. The other one.
That's true, actually.
Ariana, were you kind of upset or frustrated with the fact that he was hanging out at the refrigerator? Like, I see this note here that you made?
Yeah. Well, like, at first I was like, oh, this is cool and exciting, very like James Bond. But after like reflecting on it, I was like, wow, that was super responsible, because they came in like guns blazing and he's just like standing there at the refrigerator. Like, they could have definitely just come in and like shot him without like stopping to see who it was.
But they needed to get him on something. Like, if there had just been cops standing there, they wouldn't have been like guns blazing and something to arrest them on. They would have just been like, oh, we're in the wrong place or something. But then they had him on attempted murder.
True. My favorite part was actually Leo, because he looks like it's his second day handling a gun. Didn't know who to point it at, and I felt so bad for him.
My gosh, he's precious.
He really is.
No, I agree. That part makes me laugh every time I see it. He looks so innocent, like he shouldn't even be holding a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. So anything else really with this Russian mob plot? Are we kind of over it?
The less we say about it, the better.
True. Okay, then let's just move on to one of our favorite topics, Wallace.
Yay.
So in this episode, you kind of get more of a sense of Wallace and Veronica's relationship and kind of more of his side of it. So at this point, do we feel like Veronica's taking advantage of Wallace's friendship, especially like with his reactions to things?
I felt so bad for him, like at the beginning when he's like, let's hang out. And she's like, okay. And she's not hanging out at all. And he just seems so sad. And then like the line where he says, like, obviously you haven't seen the basketball team because I am the basketball team. And I was like, really, Veronica? Your best friend is on the team and you haven't gone to any games? That made me sad.
I kind of agree and I kind of disagree, just because I feel like they have a pretty solid relationship off screen and that they do spend a lot of time together. And you know how he was like, oh yeah, I left my algebra book over here, and I don't even I watched these episodes back to back, so they all kind of streamline into one, so I don't know if it was this episode or a different one, but
yep. Yeah,
but I feel like he does get a little disappointed in her sometimes, and that she is so focused on the PI side of what she does that she kind of gets carried away sometimes. But at the same time, I do feel like off screen, they're really good friends and they do spend a lot of time together. So I feel like it's sort of on the border there, and that I do kind of wish that Veronica would try harder, just because it's Wallace and he's adorable and I want him to be happy. But I don't think like she's a total villain in the relationship and is like using him 100% of the time.
Oh, no, I don't think she realizes that she's using him. I think that it seems really natural for her, but I just think that he might be starting to get his feelings hurt, and that like, why can't we just ever be normal, like hang out like normal people?
She does have a track record with people who have affection for her and using that against them, like Wallace, Leo.
You're right.
So it's just kind of who Veronica is, which is for better or for worse.
Yeah, I actually think I feel worse for Leo, because I don't feel like their relationship is quite as solid. They don't really know each other that well. They haven't known each other as long as she and Wallace have. And I, even though I do think her feelings are genuine for Leo, I feel like she kind of like presses that advantage she has over him too much too soon, because I feel like every time they're together, she's always asking for a favor.
I know you guys love him. I just pity him more than anything. Like, no. I don't care about him that much, but I just feel bad for him. I'm like, you clearly like her. This is not going anywhere. Like, just, I can see it miles away that there's no way this is going to go anywhere between the two of you. And I just pity you, because I think maybe in the back of his mind, he knows that, but just, I feel really bad for him. But I just can't get attached to him because I just have all this pity for him.
Well, just think, this is laying the foundation for Schmidt, so it's okay.
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, you don't watch New Girl?
No.
Oh, well, that was a horrible reference then. Never mind.
He's a very different character in New Girl.
Yes, so very different.
Different.
So him and Veronica, I mean, since we're talking about him, let's move to that point really quickly. Him and Veronica, anybody think it's going to last?
No.
I really want it to. Yeah. Mostly because I just want him to stick around on screen.
He's too nice for her. Like, she needs someone with some claws.
But I like him. He softens her up because he's so, like, simple. He's not complicated. Maybe she needs that right now.
Yeah.
See, I think being simple and uncomplicated just lets her walk all over him because he can't keep up with her.
I agree with that. Although I did like that he kind of was a little bit of a step ahead of her when it came to showing up at the high school dance.
I mean, it was more matters of the heart than
that's
intellectual
true.
Matters. Right. And I think Veronica needs an intellectual match for anything that's going to last.
Yeah, I agree.
That dance thing was super, super cute. But mm-hmm. isn't it a little weird that, like, a 20-year-old is going to a high school dance?
Yes! This is another reason I can't get attached to this guy, because he creeps me out with his attachment to this 17-year-old girl.
Like, well, that's my thing, too. Like, he's dating this girl in high school. It is, I mean, obviously they're not doing anything, but, like, it is kind of weird, especially since he's a cop, and I don't know. I mean, I think he's totally adorable. I want him to stick around for as long as possible, but yeah, I know it's not going to work out, and I'm really scared to see how it's going to end up. Like, if they're going to part on good terms, or if it's going to be, like, really, really sad.
I mean, I've seen this so many times, but they never really say how old Leo is, correct?
He's 20. He says it in the first episode.
He's 20? How is he a cop 20. Already if he's 20?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to go to college to be a cop. You go to, like, a special training.
That's true. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's kind of weird. But I guess in a lot of places, at least my high school used to be like this, the age cutoff for, like, dates for a dance was 21.
Oh, my God. That's so old. They can, like, bring alcohol in legally.
I mean, like, I think it's under 21. I don't think it's 21. I don't think it's, like, including 21. I think it's excluding 21.
I mean, I don't mean, like, 21 is old because, like, I'm older than 21. But, like,
I was going to say.
Like, I mean, no. That's – I would, like – I'm 22, and I would feel so uncomfortable going to a high school dance. Like,
yes.
So I mean, uncomfortable.
So I take it, if you can remember, your high schools weren't 21? Because all I've ever known was usually people, their cutoff was 21.
I mean, I don't know what the cutoff was.
Interesting. Fun fact, then, I guess. All right. So then, speaking of the dance, let's move on to Meg. In some ways, does Meg remind anybody of Flashback Veronica? Because since you put that on here, Ariana, I agree. I can definitely see that.
Yes, totally. She's got that sort of sweet look about her. She's really kind. She's, you know, willing to hang out with Veronica and be her friend despite everything that people have said about Veronica. And Veronica was very much like that, too. And I definitely see the resemblance, and it kind of worries me that Duncan is into her, because I feel like this is just an extension of his feelings for Veronica.
Oh my God, that's such a good point.
I never thought of that.
That's definitely what I was thinking, that he definitely has a type, and it's old Veronica, which, I mean, I guess makes sense. Like, we've kind of been seeing a little chemistry between Logan and Veronica lately, and Veronica's definitely turned into more of a Flashback Lily than Flashback Veronica, if that makes any sense at all. Like, she's much sassier now.
Mind blown.
That's how I am over here right now. I can't even... Oh, gee. Yeah, I know. I never even thought of that. That's a really interesting comparison. Sorry, I can't get over that. I don't know, just really quickly, I thought that at least the way that Duncan courted her, I was kind of impressed with it a little bit. I thought it was cute, at least.
Yeah, even the florist was impressed.
Even the florist was impressed. And also, when they had matching costumes, when they showed up at the dance, we were talking before the episode about what Meg was wearing, and it's actually like a replica or the exact dress, I'm not sure, of Molly Ringwald's character in, oh my God, I always get them mixed up, Pretty in Pink. And I believe that Duncan shows up in Total, I think the friend's name was Ducky. He wears like one of those Texas ties or whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah. And his hair.
And his hair.
I was like, what is going on with Duncan's hair?
Yeah. So right. I thought that was cool. He put some effort into that. So but, he showed up as Ducky.
How did he know what she was going to go as?
I have no idea, unless he told her at some point. But I guess, but their meeting symbol was supposed to be the flower, so I have no idea.
Right. That could be a little creepy. I was actually really happy that Duncan ended up being the person that was the secret admirer for Meg. I thought it was really cute. And I want to see Duncan happy and everything, and I was glad that it was somebody that Meg obviously liked too. But at the same time, I kind of don't know why he did all the flowers and the secret admirer thing. And I know that he's a little bit more shy than someone like Logan, but it just seemed weird to me that he was going to all this trouble to be super secretive and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of just wanted him to be I want to take you to the dance. Will you come with me?
But this was so much more romantic, and Meg ate it up, and so did I, so.
Sort of, but she thought that one of those stupid jocks was the one who was doing it, which obviously right away, at least I was like, hell no. Not happening. The way that the guy was acting at the party and stuff, it was uh-uh.
Yeah. Definitely, Brad could not pull that off. That's way more of a Randy thing, so.
Totally a Randy thing. Quick point that has always bothered me about this episode and about the Meg storyline was Veronica leaving Meg all alone at the 09er party.
Yes.
Always has bothered me.
You do not do that. You don't leave your friend alone at a party.
You don't leave your friend alone at a party. And also, she's had experience with 09er parties. She has not wanted to go to 09er parties.
And remember what happened the last time that she was alone at an O'Neill party.
So she just turns around and leaves after 5 minutes and leaves her alone saying, oh, you can get a ride home, right?
Yeah, I was really not cool with that.
Agreed.
It just made me angry. So I'm glad at least bothers someone else. I can't deal with that. So then let's move on to one of the heavier, plot lines of this, and that has to do with Logan and his mother's death. So at this point, he had already seen the video of his mother jumping off the bridge, and now we find out that, someone's been using the credit cards. So, not that any of us would really be duped or anything, but did anybody really think that it was his mother with the credit cards?
I did a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah. I was going back and forth because I was like, no, Logan, you're just grasping at straws. But then the whole thing with the lighter was really believable to me. And then it just kept going back and forth. And I was like, what if it is? And then as soon as, the person comes out of the elevator and you see the heels and the legs and the skirt, I was like, oh my God, is it really her? Really? I thought I was being tricked into believing that it wasn't because Logan had been there for so long and, nothing was going to come of it. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, it's real. And then, it pans up even further and she turns around and, it's Willow. So that was a bust.
Yeah.
My genre expectations always shape the way I look at this show. Knowing that it's a mystery, I'm like, okay, how does the mystery genre work with these kinds of things? So partly I was going, I would really hate it if she was still alive because I don't think that would do good things for Logan's character development. And on the same time, I was like, but they would totally do that just to screw with the audience. So I was 80-20 maybe.
No, I agree. I was kind of like that too. And I was kind of hoping that she was alive because I felt like it would bring in another sort of interesting plot point for Logan. So it would kind of stunt that development he's been going through, but kind of maybe branch out to something else. So that's what I was kind of hoping for. But then obviously it turns out to be his, stepsister. I believe at some point in the pilot or something, they say something about her being his actual sister, but I think they changed their mind.
He's her half-sister, or his half-sister, isn't he? Isn't she?
I believe so. It changes, I think. Other people in the comments, maybe on this post, once it goes up, might back me up on that, because I can't remember exactly, but I think it was one of those like details that got kind of changed over time, so I can never remember which is which. So Allison Hannigan as the daughter of Aaron Eccles. Can we see it? Or do we still see like Willow or Lily from How I Met Your Mother?
Willow. I had a hard time with it because I was just, Willow, what are you doing? Like, she's just so nice and I can't deal with it. I had a hard time with it.
Yeah, I could not separate her from Lily Aldrin. I feel like this role is too snarky for her, and I'm not sure she can pull it off. She's too nice.
I think she might have been fine if I didn't have that long-running association with Buffy. But with that, like, I just couldn't do it.
I kind of have a confession to make, because I distinctly remember the episode where Veronica sings Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And I also remember an episode in the future, I don't know when it's coming up here, with Allison, whatever Logan's sister name is. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of remember her character now that I've seen her face again. And I do think that she's going to be able to pull it off. I do have a little bit of trouble not seeing her as Willow. But I think that the episode that I'm remembering and one of the scenes that I'm remembering, she does do a good job of sort of being that snarky, like, you can tell she's Logan's sister. They have a lot of the same sort of harshness about them. And I'm really excited to see like what else goes on with her character other than that one scene that I remember.
And she did Dark Willow for a while. So
true.
So there's that. So you're okay with it. All right. Well, I mean, it's not a spoiler, but we will see a little bit more of his sister. So maybe it'll start to be a little bit better. So you just have to let me know or let everybody else know. So then we were talking about Logan and how his character is developing. So how do we think that the finality of his mother's death is going to affect him, or has already? Because we saw him break down just in the middle of the hotel lobby.
Which was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I really loved that part, but it was mm-hmm. so hard to watch. And I think, like, in terms of how it's going to affect him, I mean, we see at the end of this episode how he gets really drunk and stuff. I think he's definitely going to go off the deep end for a little while, but I really hope that he sort of reins himself back in, or maybe Veronica can do that, and he sort of mellows out, I guess, and kind of maybe goes back to the person that he was before Lily died. I think that it would be a nice change to see him sort of calm down and maybe not be such a jerk all the time.
Yeah, I remember I said on the episode where you were talking about, the one where we just see the car at the very end, that I think he has the potential to be very self-destructive, but also destructive to others. And I just get the sense we're going to see him harming himself, which we've already seen with him getting drunk at the dance. But I can see him being very destructive outwardly before he maybe gets reined in by Veronica or somebody else. I'm nervous to see, because he is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, especially towards his father. I have a feeling there's going to be a big showdown between the two of them.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so from the way that some of you were talking, you were kind of saying how Veronica might be reining him back in. So do we think that Veronica sees him differently now? Because she might be involved, she is involved at this moment, but you're kind of seeing her as continuing to be involved.
Yeah, definitely. I think she saw him at his most vulnerable, and she's not going to be able to get that image of him crying out of her head. And I think that no matter what he does now, I think she's going to move past her, I don't want to say hatred, because that is a really strong word, but her extreme dislike for him and start pitying him. And I think that she's going to sort of realize that he's a human being and he has feelings and he cared a lot about his mom and that there's a lot more to him than, you know, the hard shell on the outside.
She knows what it's like to lose a mother, so, like, she can empathize. I mean, her mother's not dead, but, you know, her mother left, so she can kind of, I think she's starting to see, you know, there's more to this guy than the snarky facade. And yeah. I think she can empathize with that.
Yeah, no, that was my thoughts exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think in some ways, too, even though he may not realize it, Veronica was probably the best person to be there with him, just because I think she's one of the few people who wouldn't judge him for what happened. I mean, maybe like Weevil too. Someone, people who, you know, they're the bro TP. But
I guess.
I think Duncan too. Duncan really does know him, and I think Duncan's able to look past the jerk on the outside and actually see Logan for who he is on the inside.
And they're all bonded by Lily's death too, so.
Yep.
Which is a sad thing to be bonded by, but I mean, I think it's a really strong bond because they do have something in common. I think that's part of the reason why they would have even talked to each other in the first place. So it's a good one. The last thing we have here is the phone call. But I think that would probably be better served once we get into the next episode. What do you guys think?
Yeah, because it kind of just leaves off on that cliffhanger again, as always.
It's a pretty good cliffhanger, though.
It was. I was surprised they pulled it out this early.
I was too.
Like, oh my gosh, it's the mom.
I'm really glad that, like, this wasn't the cutoff episode where we had to wait to record, because I would have gone crazy.
Yes. I can believe that. Okay, so then before we get to that next episode, let's wrap up this one with our favorite scenes. So my favorite scene from this episode was, I kind of have a different take on it now after our discussion, but it's the two couples. So Megan Duncan and then Leo and Veronica dancing on the dance floor, acknowledging, or kind of Veronica and Duncan looking at each other, acknowledging that they're no longer together. Like, there's a moment that passes between them where they just kind of look at each other and kind of half nod. But now after our discussion, like, I see that completely differently. But that's my favorite scene. So, Karen?
Mine is when Leo shows up to the dance for Veronica. I just thought it was really sweet. And I think he's cute. And I don't think he's a creeper.
He's not a creeper at all. He's adorable.
I can't help it.
Okay. It's all right. Caitlin, what's your favorite?
My favorite was when the figure that might be Mrs. Eccles walks off the elevator and you see the hat and the boots and everything. And then you turn around and it's Allison Hannigan. And I was just, that stuck out to me because it was Allison Hannigan.
It was so noirish until it was Allison Hannigan.
I know.
Ariana?
Yes, my favorite was definitely watching Logan break down and Veronica just having to comfort him because it was just so emotional. And I just felt so many emotions at that time. I was like thinking, like, you know, I'm sure everybody's been in that situation where all of a sudden somebody that you may not know that well, like, breaks down in front of you and you're like the only one there and you don't know what to do, but I don't know. Empathy and sympathy.
You totally stole mine, by the way. I really wanted to put that one.
It's all right, Karen, you stole mine, so.
Oh, good.
We're all just going in this way. Okay, favorite lines. I was surprised that nobody put this one down, and I guess it's kind of in honor of Gabrielle, because I'm sure that this is probably one of her favorites. But it was Logan after, or like in the hallway from the dance, and he goes, "Come on, everyone, let's Wing Chun tonight." "What? Everybody Wing Chun tonight. Wing Chun or I'll kick your ass." It's so funny, but it's so sad.
Okay, I'm going to be the loser on the podcast, but I have no idea what this means.
It's a song.
It's a song. It's an 80s song by Wang Chung, and they turned their band name into a dance as well. I'm sure you've heard the song before.
Probably.
I would sing it, but it wouldn't be that great. It wouldn't be close. but I'll be sure to share it with you.
Okay.
What are the lyrics? Can you like hum it for us, Danielle?
It goes so well. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Like, they just repeat everybody Wang Chung tonight. I don't know.
If you so YouTube random. It, you'll have heard it.
You will have heard it. Okay. Everybody should just go YouTube it right now. All right. Well, that's mine. So, Karen?
Okay, mine is from Wallace, and this is when they were looking for the dog, Tom Cruise's dog, and Wallace describes it as, he says, that or a drunk dingo had a three-way with an ocelot and a porcupine, and I just thought that was the strangest way to describe a dog, but it was so hilarious.
It so works. That was my second favorite, for sure. Caitlin?
Mine was when Veronica is looking for Tom Cruise and she says, how hard can it be to find an actor named Tom Cruise? And Wallace gives her a look and is like, Tom Cruise, not as good a private eye as I thought.
They definitely had fun with the Tom Cruise references this episode.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Mine was also a Wallace one to round it out. And it's after he has to go in and, like, help her try and find, I don't even remember what it was anymore at this point. But he comes out and Veronica goes, what you got? And he goes, a reputation as a jock sniffer? You can be your own FF.
I so love clever. Their relationship so much. They're just, they're so perfect.
They're so wonderful. All right.
I know, I'm so excited for when they start dating.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on so that I can get Wang Chung out of my head right now, because it's still there, and all I can hear is, everybody have fun tonight, and it's just not good. So, episode 16 is called Betty and Veronica, so here's the quick lowdown on that one. In this episode, we learn that Wallace has become something of a big shot at Neptune High after leading the basketball team to a winning season. Neptune's winning streak is threatened, however, when the school's mascot, Polly, is ransomed under the conditions that Wallace can't play in the big upcoming game. Veronica goes undercover as Betty to try and find the missing parrot, but is bogged down by the information that was revealed in her recent meeting with her mother. So, this is a total Wallace-centric episode. I think they probably could have used him a little bit more in some of the scenes, but we get to see a lot of him. We get to know a lot about him, like the fact that he's a big shot basketball player. So now that he's cool, what does that mean for the dynamic duo? Or what do people think that means? Anything at all?
I don't really think it's going to matter all that much because I think, you know, Wallace has already proven that he doesn't care what people think of Veronica. He's still going to hang out with her because he likes her and they're really good friends and they have this really cool relationship. And so I think that maybe the best thing to come out of this, I think, is that maybe Wallace is going to influence her to be a little more sociable, like we see at the end of the episode where she goes to the basketball game. And I think that could be really healthy for Veronica.
Did this feel like an episode of Saved by the Bell to anybody else?
A little bit, now that you say it.
No, like, because like, Wallace wasn't a psychopath.
See, but I would see Veronica as the Zach Morris going undercover and stuff.
And Wallace is no longer a Screech.
Oh, God.
Oh. No. I loved that Wallace is cool now. Yay for him.
Him and Veronica made him cookies.
Oh,
yeah.
So cute.
Sweet.
Best.
She definitely redeemed herself after the not hanging out last episode because she baked him cookies for every day.
And he didn't know, which I really enjoy that. It shows that she takes some sort of, not initiative, but she's interested in what he's doing more than what we've seen before.
Like, even if things don't matter to her, she understands that they matter to him.
Yeah. I've been side-eyeing them a little bit the last few episodes, and then we got that reveal, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't guess that Veronica made the cookies until Wallace literally said, these are, what are they, ginger snaps?
Snickerdoodles.
Okay. I did not know that she made them until he, like, literally said it. And I was like, oh, that's so amazing. I thought the cookies were going to be, like, a plot point where, like, like he was getting drugged and he was going to be kicked off the basketball team. Like, I had this whole, like, crazy theory going in my head, which I'm really glad wasn't true because this was so much better.
Yeah.
I had the same thought.
That would have been interesting, though. I was a little suspicious of the cookies the first time I saw it. So it was kind of like a MacGuffin, sort of, but not all the way.
I thought she was going to, like, MacGyver some kind of spy thing to, like, take to the other school or something. And I was like, oh, this is so much sweeter. I like this better.
Speaking of her going to the other school, Betty... I personally like her character of Betty. I think she's kind of cute. I don't know. What did you think of Betty as one of her many transformations or characters?
She's so funny. Oh my God. Like when she was talking about being the school mascot, she's like, at my old school, I was horny.
She does such a great job of keeping a straight face and, you know, with all her little, like, quirks to her voice and her mannerisms, and she just really sells you the character, and it's just amazing how, like, how much she transforms when she does those things.
It's just so entertaining. I think sometimes I get Betty and that character she played when that girl that Wallace liked got scammed, that blonde that she played. I sometimes get two of them mixed up, but I just, in general, I like her playing that peppy, sort of naive, dumb, blonde character. I think it's really entertaining.
It makes me wonder if she pulls from, like, past Veronica at all. I mean, not that she seemed dumb in, you know, the flashbacks or anything. I think she was... very much the same type of person, and she didn't necessarily hide who she was, but I do think that she was far less cynical and that maybe she played up the more ditzy kind of person to be able to fit in with the cool crowd. So I wonder if that's kind of where she gets her inspiration for Betty from.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking, she reminds me of past Veronica.
It's this episode that makes me... or, like, that whole reason that makes me wish we had seen more of past Veronica, besides, like, past Veronica in terms of Lily. Because I think that it would be an interesting comparison. I don't know about you. The parrot plot was okay. Did you like this plot better than the Rusty Business one, or was it still kind of eh?
I thought Zach Morris was going to get it back eventually, so...
Yeah, I did not care at all who stole the parrot, like not even a little bit, so.
I kind of cared because it was just really bothering me that I didn't know who did it. I didn't really guess it up until the end, and at one point I was like, wait, did like Wallace steal it? I was guessing everybody, and so it was just frustrating more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I think it kind of brings us back to... the high school realm, because sometimes with some of the cases or things that she does, like, yes, we know she's in high school, but we really forget that she's there. So it's kind of nice to have like these kind of plots every once in a while, like the school election and now the Tale of Two Mascots sort of thing. So
I find these the least interesting though, so
yeah,
kind of like,
I agree.
Whatever,
I agree.
Because the stakes are so low, I think that's why. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, they could lose the game. Although I guess people had a lot of money riding on the game, so.
She might get her locker moved back to where it was.
Okay. Oh, no.
Oh. She was a pretty good negotiator, though, for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't get her parking spot, though.
She did not.
I think even she knew that was a stretch, though.
That's okay. She had to go for it anyways. I mean, bringing up the locker, she obviously moved it because of Duncan and Meg. I mean, I can kind of understand how after them getting together at the dance is kind of awkward around them. But at the same time, I find it a little obnoxious. I mean, I can understand, but... And then they run into each other at, like, the family dinner sort of thing, and I don't know.
An extended family dinner, because her dad was there, and her half-brother.
Her dad. Oh, Mr. Kane. Yes, an extended family dinner. Yes. I'm sorry, whenever I think dad, I think of Keith Mars, no matter what. but, yeah, so, I don't know. I think that... In terms of being a high schooler, like, her reaction is pretty spot on, but I just don't care for it in terms of, I guess, the show itself.
Yeah, the thing with this whole plot point about her being, like, upset that Meg and Duncan are together, I totally get it because Duncan and her have a past that was obviously very important to her, and we know that she still likes him. But at the same time, she knew full well who Meg's secret admirer was when she gave her the corsage to put on her wrist. So I kind of feel like she shouldn't be so huffy towards Meg because she knew what she was getting into.
Yeah. High school drama.
Maybe she's being huffy towards her past self.
Maybe.
And it's all psychological.
And that's why she dresses up as Betty, too.
Just there you go.
Gotta let it out.
She needs a therapist, clearly.
Yes. But actually, yeah. She probably does.
No, yeah, seriously.
Seriously. Where's that therapist?
Although, in terms of, like, Meg, I also felt like she was kind of trying too hard, like, how she jumped up at the dinner table and, like, went over and gave Veronica a hug. Like, I kind of applaud her for being pretty straightforward about, like, okay, you know, if there's, like, bad blood between us now, I want to get it out in the open, I want to talk about it. I think that was a really good thing, but at the same time, I just kind of felt like in this episode, she was a little overpowering.
But she's overcompensating for Veronica, who's just shut down. I mean, I don't think she did anything not normal. Like, if you see your friend when you're out to dinner, you usually say hi to them.
Yeah, I think you're right in that she was overcompensating for a good reason because Veronica had shut down like that. But to me, I was like, whoa, maybe if you didn't try, like, too hard, Veronica would be more apt to talk to you, but at the same time, it is sort of Veronica's MO to walk away from people.
Yeah, and not, like, deal with things. Yeah, no, I agree.
Echoes of that a couple episodes ago with the rapper's daughter.
Yes. Yeah, because she just left when it got kind of weird or whatever, she just kind of dropped Yolanda. So, yeah.
Aw, that makes me sad.
Yeah. I know. I really liked seeing Veronica with her gal pal. It was nice to see her, like, a different side of her that she can't... I mean, like, Wallace is a great friend, but obviously girls bring out a different side of you when you get to, like, do your makeup and your hair all fun.
Yeah. All right, any last comments about the Polly the Parrot plot? Or Betty? We're pretty much over that one, too.
Yeah, let's get to the good stuff.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. We see Veronica's mom, not in flashbacks, so that's kind of exciting. And we see Veronica seeing her in person and not just missing a phone call. So I don't know about you, but the first time that I saw this episode and I saw Veronica's mom in the bar, she was completely different from what I had imagined, just in that the mom that we had seen trying to contact her before on, like, a burner cell and in the flashbacks even, I just thought she seemed so different than this woman who's kind of crouched over the bar and completely drunk at, like, 11 o'clock in the morning.
She seems so much more put together in the flashbacks and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's a better way of putting it. Or even, like, when she was on the run, she seemed pretty smart and, like, one step ahead, but here she just didn't.
Yeah, I was so disappointed that she turned out to be a drunk, because I feel like Veronica deserved so much better than that after all of this time of trying to track her down and finally finding her and finally going to confront her. And then she's met with this person who doesn't even really feel like her mother anymore. And it just, you know, after everything that Veronica's been through with her mom, I just feel like this was sort of the last straw. And I felt really horrible for Veronica.
I think this episode kind of makes it hard to know why her mom was even gone or why she was being blackmailed too. So with a kind of cloudy motivation, it just, the mom as a character is just kind of disappointing.
Agreed. Why do you guys think that they're blackmailing her? Obviously Danielle knows, but like, what do you think? Does somebody know the paternity for sure? Or is it just the alibi? Like, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's the paternity, because I feel like, well, I guess it could be. I was going to say, I don't think it's the paternity, because I feel like Keith is definitely her father. Like, I'm still holding on to that pretty strongly. But at the same time, like, if they don't know for sure, they could still be blackmailing her. So I guess that's definitely a possibility.
It's probably a combination of things. I don't think it's just one thing, because that's to put her on the run and to protect Veronica over like that one thing seems over the top. So I feel like there's more to it than just the paternity or just an alibi.
Yeah, like maybe something we just don't know of yet.
Probably related maybe to the death.
Yeah, I was just thinking that she probably knows who did it.
No comment? I had to throw at least one of those in an episode, so I haven't said it yet.
So you guys, sorry.
No, Daniel, go, please.
So you guys definitely think that Keith is the dad?
I do.
I have no idea. I just would be really creeped out if they went the other route and she had been dating her half-brother. Like, that's the only thing that sticks in my head, is that she was dating Duncan.
I'm sure that's the only thing that sticks in her head, too. Or one of the only things. It's hard to get over.
I kind of want it to be Jake Kane, because I just think it would be so much juicier of a story and provide so much more in future seasons. But I don't think that they're brave enough. They're not going to go the incest route, so...
But weren't you saying, I think we were talking a few days ago, weren't you saying that you'd kind of like to see Duncan and Veronica as siblings?
Yeah, I would. You? That's what I mean, yeah. Because, I mean, Keith is going to be her dad always, regardless. That doesn't matter to me. But it would be nice, I think, to have, like, I've already, whatever, she dated him. I'm over it. It was high school. So I would really like to see Veronica and Duncan as siblings, because I think that they would really... I feel like they could both use the support right now in a very platonic way. And I think that they could get over it, especially since Veronica is obviously in love with Wallace and Logan. So it's going to be too difficult.
All the boys. Not Leo?
And Weevil.
Oh, and Leo too.
And Weevil.
Yes, everybody. For his mind. For his mind.
Yes.
Can she just date all of them?
Go on dates and... Have a calendar.
Sell everything.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes. So I guess what we're saying is that the question of paternity is kind of up in the air. Do we think anybody knows at this point? Or is everybody just kind of guessing? Like, do we think her mom knows? Or
I know. I think everybody's guessing. I think Keith doesn't care, because I think that he believes... whether or not biologically Veronica is still his daughter, I don't think the mom knows. I think she would have said if she did. And I don't think Jake or Celeste know, because I think they would be doing more about it if they did.
Thank you for bringing up Celeste, because everybody always makes her seem like she's so crazy and like a total loony. Like the mom, she's like, I was protecting you because she didn't want you to date Duncan. And I was like, hello, if there's even like, there's a 50% chance here that he's her brother. Like, isn't Celeste the only sane person in this situation being like, you probably shouldn't date?
No. I mean, you have a really good point, but no, Celeste is crazy. She really freaks me out.
I think if it was any other mother or, like, even any other character, I'd say yes completely, but that's not her character type. I feel like from what Lily said before about how she's super protective over Duncan and stuff, like, I still see her as a crazy, manipulative person.
Why am I seeing the Kane family as the Lannisters now, like, on multiple levels?
Stop it. They are not as smart as the Lannisters. And they are not as interesting either. Duncan could not be any of those siblings.
This is a Game of Thrones reference, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Karen, you and I can just sit on the outskirts here.
Although the Lannisters are into incest as well, so exactly. I guess they have that in common.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Something I look forward to when I eventually get to Game of Thrones.
Yep.
At some point. So then the last thing that we see with Veronica and her mother is Veronica checking her mom in to rehab. And we learn, I think, right before that flashback happens, or like the flashback to what happened like 2 days ago, that she overdrew in her bank account. So we're assuming that she put all of her money in, like, faith for her mom to go to rehab. Was it smart? Or, like, did she make the right choice to send her mother to rehab and to, like, put her there with her own money?
This story feels so out of place to me. Like, I really found all the flashbacks in this episode very jarring in general. Like, I don't feel like they flowed very well. But this storyline completely just... I don't see how it fits yet, so it's really, like, not doing it for me at all.
No, that's understandable. The flashbacks aren't really as smooth as they are usually.
This will probably be one of those things that makes sense, like, 4 episodes down the line, but right now I'm like, I can't really see where this is going, so it's not holding my interest. So it's not working for me yet.
Anybody else? Thoughts about mom going to rehab?
I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, oh my gosh, that was like $40,000 or $50,000 that Veronica used up in one go that, you know, she probably spent, well, I guess she didn't spend that long. She's only been a PI for like a year. She can make it up again in time for college. But like, so we hope. But it makes perfect sense, I think, because that really is the safest place for her mom. She really needs the help, like, clearly. And also, if people are after her, that's probably the safest place around a whole bunch of people that are going to be watching her constantly.
Except when it's rich people, they can bribe people to get on the staff to go after her.
Oh, creepy. Oh my gosh, that's totally going to happen. Watch out for the nurses.
Oh, you always watch out for the nurses. That's like rule number one when it comes to rehab or like mental hospitals or...
I'm glad that Veronica did this. I thought it was really heartbreaking how she was like, Mom, you know, I want you to come home. And she was crying. And, you know, that was the reason why she did this. And I'm really glad that it happened. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be able to go back to their happy little family. I think things are changed for the worse. And I don't think that it's going to be fixable, which really kind of scares me, but it is what it is, I guess. And I think that even if Keith and Veronica's mom don't get back together and, you know, they can't be that happy family again, I think at least having a healthy mother who is there, even if she doesn't live with her, is going to be the best for Veronica. And I think that this is just like a step in that direction.
Yeah. Quick question. Yeah. When speaking about family, I was just thinking about this. Can anyone even see Veronica's mom with Keith Mars, like as a married couple?
No, not anymore. I think you're right, Karen. I can't see him taking her back. I think she might even want to go back to him, but I just can't see him taking her back in the state that she's in. And after everything that he feels she's done to him.
Yeah. I don't know, they just seem different. So I was just wondering, like, even
too
if
much water
see them,
under the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then once she gets home, she realizes, because we saw Clarence, we'd been walked into that bar at some point. So she realizes that she had been bugged at some point. So she searches the room, finds the bug in this weird panda pencil sharpener. So was it smart, or how do we think it's going to play out with Veronica leaving the bug in her room and not destroying it like she was originally going to?
I think it's smart. I think it's paid off already. And, I mean, she's definitely going to have to watch what she says, but it could be really valuable for her to know that they're listening and to have the plant in the office and be able to have that information.
I think it might be a little too smart, like she's trying to be too smart, and it works for a little while, but she's going to have to be very conscious at all times, and that's very hard to stay on like that at all times in a space that is supposed to be your sanctuary from the outside world. So I can see this coming around to kick her in the butt when she just forgets.
I think it was the smartest thing to do, though, because if she had destroyed it, she would be paranoid, I think, waiting for when they would put another one in. So at least now she knows where it is.
Yeah, that's true. And like Karen said, it did bring us to the sort of cliffhanger ending that Abel Koontz has a daughter. So I guess without that, obviously without that bug or without the plant that Wallace had put there in the office, we wouldn't have known about it. My question, one of my last questions for you, is did we see Abel Koontz having like a family member or something? Did we see it coming? Was it really a surprise for anybody?
No. I think I think that because Marima brought it up a couple of episodes ago, and
yeah,
I totally bought into that right away. I was like, oh, you're totally right. And she was. Yeah. So it wasn't super shocking, but it was good to finally get an answer to what exactly was going on.
I mean, this happens like in every movie, every series, right? Whenever there's somebody who takes it, the patsy, it's always because they're dying and their kid needs the money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to tell Marima right away that she was right, but then I knew I couldn't. So yeah, she did. She got that one for sure. And as you may have guessed, we will see that whole daughter plotline play out. I think it's actually coming up right away.
Yay! I get to watch it today.
Yes. Yes, you get to watch it today. Let me see. Yes, I believe it comes up pretty much immediately. So you kind of find out more about the daughter. I won't say any more than that, but you will find out really soon. So, favorite scenes. Mine is more for like a plot purpose rather than like entertainment, even though I love entertaining scenes. But I really enjoyed the scene where Veronica manipulates Clarence Weedman by asking her father a question in front of the bug. Because of the fact that we have no idea what's going on or why she's asking the question. And so we are in Mr. Mars's shoes at that point. And so we get sucked into the question, at least I did, just like her father did. Like she was kind of asking him, because she hadn't said anything about what she knew beyond, I guess, the question, if that makes sense. So we get sucked in like Mr. Mars, and it kind of shows that we shouldn't be so hard on Mr. Mars for really not questioning Veronica when we ourselves can get sucked in just like that, if that makes sense. So
no, it does. I saw it two times, and both times I got sucked in. I forgot.
Yeah, that's why I like that scene. But Karen, your favorite scene?
Mine was near the end when Weevil got to play, not Weevil, oh, shame, sorry, when Wallace got to play in the game. Too many W names.
I'm sure Weevil would be a pretty good baller, though.
He is
a baller.
He
probably plays street games.
yeah, street ball.
But yeah, it was when Wallace got to play in the game. He was just so excited, and I was so happy that Veronica found Polly in time, and it was just a really cool moment.
How cute was Wallace with his love for Polly? He was like, we bonded.
Aw, he's so cute. Caitlin, favorite scene?
Mine was when Wallace realized that Veronica was making the cookies in his spirit boxes that he kept finding, oh, it was just so cute. Like I said earlier, that kind of redeemed all the side-eyeing I'd been doing of their friendship up until that point. I was like, oh, and she didn't think he'd ever even figure it out. So that's just such a sweet little thing to do for your friend.
Okay. I'm glad you're not side-eyeing them anymore.
I mean, I probably will be sad.
Yeah, at least for now.
I love them, but like, I just see Veronica taking advantage of the people she cares about. Mm-hmm. Frequently.
They just have too much sexual tension. That's why.
That's what it is.
That's what the duo is for.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I just got it, Caitlin. My favorite scene was definitely Weevil's entire interrogation of that Kiki Riverdale kid. I just thought from the beginning to the end, it was wonderful. Which leads into your favorite line, Danielle.
It does. I like that scene too, because I just feel so bad for that kid. But my favorite line is from Weevil. And he goes, I'm nearly bursting with pirate pride here.
I love the way he says it too.
I know, I can't even replicate it. Not even close.
It's because Weevil is flawless.
Okay. Can we take a moment, please, and think about, like, I just realized this week that, like, how much I love Weevil and Wallace. Gabrielle received donuts from them at Comic-Con.
Yes.
Like, let's just take a moment.
This is when we say, Gabrielle, I wish I had your life. Yes, I wish I knew about Veronica Mars before Comic-Con.
I know. I was like, we were there, Karen. Like,
I know.
I want Wallace to hand me a donut.
Like I said, I saw that picture when I was sitting at work that morning, and I could not contain myself. I was so excited and jealous at the same time. And so I'm glad you can finally feel it a little bit.
I remember when she told us, I was like, whatever, what is this?
That's cool. Donuts? All right.
I love donuts.
Nope, Wallace and Weevil.
Nice. They're nice in real life, too. Oh.
Yeah. They're bros in real life. They get donuts together. Karen, your favorite line?
Mine is from Leo. And this is when Veronica is in the station and she pours herself a cup of coffee and she's sort of daydreaming. And I think it's about her mom or something like that. But Leo comes up behind her and says, just so you know, in my mind, that daydream was about me. And I was just like, so cute.
I appreciate that he was your favorite line of this week. Caitlin, favorite line?
Oh, I had such a hard time deciding between two of them, but the one I went with was Veronica saying to Wallace, can you do me a weird favor without asking any questions? To which Wallace replies, isn't that the bedrock upon which our friendship was founded?
What was your second choice, Caitlin?
It was when Veronica goes to talk to Weevil and he has the line about, it's like, I knew you always wanted me, but I didn't know it was for my mind.
That was my second choice too. That's why I wanted you to say it.
Screeched in laughter because it was so funny.
He's so smart.
Oh my God. Every line he says is so funny. Which brings me to mine. Like when he's talking to that kid. Yeah. And he's like, wait, so like he realizes that the kid went to a pet shop and took a picture of himself with a parrot. And he goes, that's this close to taking a hot cousin to the prom.
I wish we would get to see more Weevil. I wish he was like as big as Veronica. That'd be so fun. I mean, in terms of the show, like as important, I guess.
Have you noticed that they only ever put like three of the guys in an episode at a time? Like in this episode, there was no Logan, right?
Too much sexual tension.
Can't handle it. Everybody would be so overcome. Would be able to deal.
Although, I was kind of wondering about something.
Sure.
Veronica and Weevil's relationship, which I love. I think it's amazing. But I do find it kind of strange that whenever she calls him, he kind of jumps and comes in to, like, sort of save the day or help her with something. And I don't really know why. Like, yeah. I don't think he has feelings for her. I don't think, like, that's the reason. I think he's just honestly helping out a friend. But just considering, like, the relationship they had in the beginning of the season, makes me sort of wonder, like, what changed so significantly that he sort of seems like he's at her beck and call.
I think, honestly, he just finds her amusing. Like, he very rarely gets to, like, talk to somebody at his same intellectual level. And I think he likes being, like, undercover with her. I think he thinks it's fun.
I think we've also seen that Weevil's the kind of person who doesn't have a lot of people he's very close to, but those he's close to, he is, like, loyal to a fault to. And he respects the hell out of Veronica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always my view, that in the pilot episode, the things that she did both against Logan and for the PCHers, the gang, I think it's the PCHers, that he just, she earned his respect. And so I think that their friendship is kind of based on this sort of respect, that they will help each other out of a jam, and in combination with being entertaining. And also with, like, being on the same level and everything like that. So I think that the main thing, or the thing that started it, was respect.
That reminds me that she also still has that tape. So.
Oh, she does still have that tape. Just put it in on weekends and have fun. Watch Baby Wallace.
Oh, with his big hair.
Baby Wallace with his
I
big
miss
hair.
His big hair.
I know. He's a big basketball star now. He's got no time for the throw.
I don't like it.
Needs to be aerodynamic.
All right. So before we wrap up this episode of Rewatchable, we're going to read back a little bit of our listener feedback. So first of all, we want to thank you for writing in, tweeting us, commenting, everything that you've been doing. It's been great. And so here are a few of the things that some of our listeners had to say. Ariana, want to start us off here?
Yeah, I'll start off with our Twitter. You can always tweet us at re_watchable, and we really enjoy your tweets. They are wonderful. We got one from Holly, who said, listening to the latest Rewatchable, the VMARS newbies are speculating over who the show's OTP will be. I am cackling, obviously. Hashtag no comment. Well, thank you, Holly.
And Danielle and Gabrielle. No comment.
Like yes. Yes. Yes, that's pretty much how Danielle is all the time.
Yes, no cackling all the time. Sometimes when Gabrielle and I are on the same episode, we're going back and forth on a separate little chat thing and being like, "Oh my god, I can't believe they said that." Oh,
oh
my god,
serious?
The OTP.
Oh. Talking about us behind our back.
No, in an excited way, like, "Oh, that's funny," or "Oh, they hit that on the head," or you know. I don't know.
Oh, I haven't asked you girls. Who do you guys think that the OTP is? Like, for reals, for reals.
I mean, I've seen a lot of gift sets on Tumblr from much later in the series.
Oh, no. Okay, then I don't want
to say anything.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know, too, just from, like, a little bit that I know. So I won't say anything either.
Okay, well, then I don't want to know because I don't want to be spoiled.
Who do you think it is?
Well, as I told Mitch... I think that Wallace is definitely going to get some time in there. He's going to have a little bit of time, but I think ultimately it's going to be Logan because eventually he will redeem himself and stop being a douche. Although, personally, I love Wallace more. But
yeah, I gotcha. You will have to wait to find out, and that's all I'm going to say. No comment.
Hashtag no comment.
My second one. Hashtag no comment. Caitlin, you want to read that next week there?
Okay, we have another tweet. This one's from Monica. This is for Mitch, who is unfortunately not on the episode. She says, to help Mitch remember Leo's name, L-E-O equals law enforcement officer. So remember the creepy law enforcement officer who's dating the high school
student. She's not creepy.
Stop it.
Wait, did they do that on purpose, or is that literally just, like, to remember it? Did they actually name the character Leo? Because
I don't think so. I had honestly never heard of that being short for law enforcement officer until this tweet. And also there was a comment on the most recent episode that went up on Hypable.
Yeah, I think
that said
the
same thing.
Person. Yeah.
Yeah. I had never heard or even thought of that before. So I don't think so, but I will look into that.
It seems pretty convenient, but cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And props to Monica because I definitely did not remember his name at all until she said that. Like, if you notice in the doc, it just keeps saying that guy.
I'll have to go back Max and look at that. That cute guy. Okay. All right. And then we also had a hypeable comment here that we wanted to read out loud. Karen, you want to take that one?
Sure. This is from Tanisha. She says, I always find the discussion of Lily to be interesting, as so many people across the fandom have different views on her character. I have flip-flopped on my feelings about her over the years. I loved her when the season first aired, but after multiple viewings, the Veronica watercolored lenses started to wear off. I don't think she was as manipulative and conniving as Allison from Pretty Little Liars. However, I did always imagine that there was probably a little bit of mean girl streak somewhere in her, just not directed at Veronica, who I believe she truly loved as a best friend. I think if we were to see flashbacks of Lily from someone other than Veronica's point of view, we'd probably see a very different Lily. I totally agree with this. I think that, and I've said it before, that Lily has always seemed kind of manipulative to me. Not that that's a really, really bad thing, because, I mean, Veronica sort of is too, in a different way, but she's definitely manipulative. And I think that it's true that Lily's love for Veronica was very genuine, but at the same time, she could be sort of cruel. And we saw that in one of the previous episodes with Yolanda. And so I think that it's kind of hard, because I kind of really like Lily, but I think it's because we're seeing so much from Veronica's point of view. But if you really stop and think about Lily as a person and how she interacts with some of the other characters on the show, she is pretty mean sometimes.
Now that you've said that, Karen, that really, like, I haven't brought up Gossip Girl yet this episode, so I need to. But that really,
gotta fill the like, quota.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, Blair, who is so fiercely loyal to her friends, but is like kind of, it's pretty, she's mean to everybody else basically. So that's kind of, I can definitely see what Tanisha's talking about.
I do wish we did have a different view of Lily, or even a little bit more time with Lily. Like, I know she was supposed to start off as not having a lot of screen time at all, so I'm happy for as much as we've gotten, but that's one thing that I do wish we had more of, just to get a better idea of who she was as a person before she had to die. So, yeah, that was our listener feedback. As always, we love, love, love reading all of this stuff, and we love interacting with all of you. So if you would like to get in touch with us, Ariana had said our Twitter handle before, but I will repeat it. It's at re_watchable. If you want to email us, you can contact us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. And you can also leave comments on this post on hypeable.com. We're always looking at them, always trying to respond to everybody. If you want to get some sort of discussion going, we are game. We are there. So please talk to us. And if you like us enough, leave us a review on iTunes so that other people can find us too.
Yes, if you leave us a 5-star review, we'll bake you cookies, just like Veronica did.
For doodles?
Yes, whatever kind. They can put on there what kind they want.
Yes, whatever kind.
Don't let me be in charge of this, because today I'm pretty sure I cooked ramen noodles wrong. I don't know how that happened, but I ruined my ramen noodles, so no. I'll be in charge of the little box that you guys put it in.
And tomorrow Karen will be burning her cereal.
It's a good thing you're not getting cereal or ramen. All right, so I think that's all that we have. So we are going to sign off so that everybody can go watch their next episodes of Veronica Mars. So I am Danielle.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Karen.
And we'll see you later, marshmallows.
Bye, guys.
Bye. All I have to say is enjoy the next two episodes. I know.
What was that?
I'm sorry. No, I really did have something in my throat.
It sounded so ominous.
No, I was like, oh my God, somebody's going to die.
No, no. I mean,
The next two episodes, Wallace, Weevil, and Logan all kick the bucket.